listening
to the CD Baby.
CD Baby.
CD Baby.
DIY.
Musician.
Musician Podcast.
Hey there, and welcome to episode number 160 of the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast. My name is Kevin Bruner, your host for the show, and today you're going to be hearing from Booty Vogt from the Netherlands. He wrote the SoundCloud Bible, and every time a new platform establishes itself like SoundCloud, it's always important to understand the tools and tricks for promoting your music that are specific to that platform. In today's interview, you're going to hear about how artists are using the musical ecosystem created by SoundCloud to promote their music and build an audience. Before we get to that interview, I wanted to mention that it's more important than ever to get your music, your whole catalog, distributed and selling worldwide. And, you know, that's what we do here at CD Baby. We've been helping artists distribute their music since 1998. And we've been paying artists every week since then. So if fans have to work hard to find your music, chances are they'll just move on and it's a missed opportunity for you. So don't let that happen. Get your music distributed worldwide, Spotify, Apple Music, iTunes, CDs, everything. Get it out there and you can distribute your music today at members.cdbaby.com. And if you need any help, we're here for you. Lastly, if you have a question or comment or just want to say hello, you can call our listener line at 360-524-2209. You can email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. And I'm at K Bruner on Twitter. That's the letter K and then my last name, B-R-E-U-N-E-R. I'm really accessible there and always look forward to chatting with you. Well, with that said, on to the interview. All right, well, joining me on the line is Booty Vogt. Buddy, did I just totally screw up your name?
No, it's cool. It's Booty Vogt.
Okay. You are actually in the Netherlands in The Hague. We were just, I just discovered that that's where you're at. I knew you were in Europe somewhere, but it was sort of a mystery to me where you actually located.
Uh-huh, correct.
So I think it's cool. We're going to be talking about SoundCloud today. You've put out a book called The SoundCloud Bible. You've contributed numerous articles to our DIY Musician blog, and you've been working there in the Netherlands with artists. So it's kind of going to be an interesting perspective, and happy to have you on the podcast.
Very, very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I'm curious, before we dive into SoundCloud, what's the music climate like there right now, there in the Netherlands?
It's interesting, actually. We're very much in the electronic music space, and the Netherlands have sort of developed a reputation for delivering world-renowned DJs. So the climate here is very good, actually. We have the ADE, Amsterdam Dance Event Conference, coming up, which is sort of becoming the go-to for electronic music business-related stuff. And there's a lot of shows, a lot of opportunities, a lot of artists as well.
Well, cool. I mean, it's definitely interesting when you start thinking about the global marketplace. And, you know, even here in the U.S., we have all sorts of different pockets of you know, different regions of the country have, you know, different genres that they're typically known for. And I know over where in that part of Europe, electronic music is huge, and so it's cool to get some different perspectives on the podcast from different locations in the world. So tell us a little bit about the company you co-founded, the artist you're working with, and then from there we can start moving into our discussion about SoundCloud and how artists can use that as a platform.
Sure, absolutely. So I guess I'll begin with the beginnings. About 4 years ago, I was studying business administration at Erasmus University, a business school here in the Netherlands. And I set out to do the studies because I figured out I wanted to run my own business, but I didn't yet quite know what to do. And my best friends at the time had started producing music, and that sort of, they put out their first track on SoundCloud. And this is, we're talking 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks' time, they put the track up and no following at all, right? Mm-hmm. Track gets, I don't know, 10, 20,000 plays within a week or something. So we were flabbergasted. And it was sort of an opportunity, a serendipity, you know, it came together. And I was like, okay, guys, why don't you start an act? I'll start managing you. And because there's opportunity here, we'll see where it goes. So we started doing that, and that quickly started escalating. So I began signing more acts, launched an agency with a partner at the time. And as I finished my studies, I then bought up my partner, my then current partner. And we really figured out, you know, we had these artists with so much potential, but they hadn't established enough track record to create the leverage necessary to open the doors with the big boys, the managers, the publishers, the major labels, etc. So even if the music were good enough, you know, they'd still ask us like, hey, where's the fan base?
Yeah.
Where's your track record? And that's when it dawned upon us that, you know, all this time, this was instigated because of SoundCloud, because of the internet. So then we really committed to leveraging the internet to create that those opportunities for ourselves, basically. And that's when we launched Heroic Recordings, our label, by now a label group. And this is 2 years back. And ever since, we've really started using our labels to kickstart artists and signing the best of them for management, and then also guiding them throughout their careers.
Well, excellent. That's very cool. So, since we're here to talk about SoundCloud and how your artist and how you've been helping artists use that platform to gain an audience, but you know, you can, since you're working with all artists at all aspects of their career, helping them make connections, you can, you know, we can discuss about some of those things, talk about some of those things too. But let's start diving into SoundCloud. You wrote the SoundCloud Bible book. Mm-hmm. It's available online. We'll put links to it in the show notes for anyone who wants to check it out. Lots of information there about using SoundCloud. I told you before we started recording the podcast, I'm sort of a SoundCloud newbie, or not necessarily a newbie. I've used it as, you know, just to kind of park some tracks here and there, you know, song ideas and whatnot, but haven't actually engaged with it as a platform. And I have a feeling there's a lot of artists out there who, especially artists who aren't in the electronic music scene as much, that probably are in the same boat as me. So why don't you start out by even just describing SoundCloud as a platform and how an artist should even, what they should look at it as, like, how does this a vehicle for promoting my music that's different than just, you know, putting it up on some other site?
Yeah, absolutely. Great question. I feel that SoundCloud has really developed quickly over the past years, to the point now where I think recently they published some statistics from Next Big Sound, where they said June 2013 reported about 700 million monthly plays, and then June 2014 was 2.5 billion monthly plays, and then May 2015 was 4.9 billion monthly plays. So I think that's a great indicator of like explosive growth. And during that period, I think SoundCloud has now really become one of the staple social media sites you got to be on as an artist, whether you're electronic or not. It's irrelevant, I think. Especially because it ties in very well with things like Hype Machine. And there's really artists who put music on SoundCloud and from there start getting so much traction that they're able to create opportunities elsewhere. And why the platform is special? Well, basically, I think originally SoundCloud is special because it is purely focused on music. You know, like when you look at YouTube, of course, there's a lot of music consumption there, but there's also a big dilution of the audience. People want to watch videos, you know, people are looking for one thing, they find the other. Whereas people who browse SoundCloud, and increasingly so, these are also just consumers, you know, people who want to listen, not just creators. It's very music focused. So I think the value of a listener on SoundCloud, if you encapture that person into being a fan, you know, who likes your page, the value there might be bigger than having a subscriber on a YouTube channel.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the basics, just, you know, because you kind of compared it. You mentioned YouTube and SoundCloud. How do some of those interactions work on SoundCloud that an artist needs to be aware of, that, you know, that's different than just, hey, my tracks are on they're on YouTube, but they're also on Spotify, and people can go check them out there. What's so different about SoundCloud as a platform that, as an artist, I should take note?
I think there's a very active community of both creators, but also consumers who just devour music on SoundCloud. I know numerous people who build playlists and do nothing else but discover new artists. But I also know that within the up-and-coming artist sphere, you know, people who put up their music on SoundCloud, that they're very proactive about interacting with other musicians. And I'm sure that most of the listeners are familiar with the way tracks look when uploaded on SoundCloud. And you actually see the waveform. So you're able to dive in there and maybe say, you know, at 1 minute 10, say, oh, I love the chorus here, you know? You could say that. And what happens is that you can get a lot of technical feedback, also supportive feedback from other musicians. But also as the platform grows and sort of gets more adopted by the mainstream, you're also seeing the same engagement as you're seeing on a YouTube, just in the comments. But I feel like because it's so music-centric, that the value of interactions, like for you as a musician, that might be higher than if you're on, let's say, a Twitter or a Facebook, you know, where an interaction is going to be by someone who's inside their Facebook feed and a track that may pop up, maybe one of the thousand other media types he sees or she sees. Whereas on SoundCloud, you know, you're trying to discover new music.
Yeah. Yeah. So that being a key difference with the SoundCloud platform is that the fans and other users can actually have a deeper interaction with the tracks that doesn't exist on a streaming service like Spotify. And it's geared specifically towards musicians in a way that something like YouTube is not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'll add another thing. Something that you're increasingly seeing is sort of collectives of people pop up. In the electronic realm, there's a record label called Solection. Originally started out in LA, but they're really international, like beatmakers worldwide. And all these guys are supporting each other on SoundCloud and reposting each other's tracks, which is a term basically saying that, let's say you have 10,000 followers and then you repost someone else's track, you're going to publish it to your own audience. And through this interaction, you have like these clusters of people always supporting each other's work. So you're really able to create a ripple as a tight-knit group.
Yeah. So I know as we go through this interview, there's going to be a lot of artists who are like, I'm going to be checking out SoundCloud, and it'll be probably their first time really engaging in the platform. Or maybe it's somebody like myself who I used it in the past to park tracks, and now I'm like, you know, after been talking to you, I'm like, I need to dive in and build out a presence here. What are some of the key things that I need to pay attention to first? You know, you mentioned an artist that went from, you know, posting with no following, like a brand new account basically, to having some serious plays in a short amount of time. What are some of the key things that they were paying attention to that artists need to look into when developing their presence there?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a multifaceted answer here. I really feel that SoundCloud is part of your, should be part of your integral strategy as an artist, but your success within the platform is not per se fully dependent on what you do within the platform. So the artist you just named as an example is San Holo, a guy we picked up just about a year ago. And September last year, we put out his first EP, and he was just under 4,000 followers on SoundCloud then. And right now, fast forward about 11 months, and he's just over 170,000 followers now. And we have tracks with like incredible amounts of plays. But that was the result of like multiple strategies coming together. But to make this actionable, I would say step one is make sure your branding is coherent. You should have like a signature visual style that is not just on your SoundCloud, but also on your Facebook, also on your newsletter, so that you really, you know, establish your look in people's minds. I think another important factor on SoundCloud is continuity. You want to create an expectancy of putting out one track a month, for example. And then once you're within the platform and we're talking specifics, I think a very powerful tip would be to say that in the genre tags, like the actual keywords, when you upload a track, what you want to do is you want to put the exact name of a category that you can find under the Explore section. So basically, when you go to the platform like SoundCloud.com, you can click Explore, you could go to Category, and you'll see the trending tracks within R&B, within house, within indie, electronica, or maybe singer-songwriter. And those genre categories, so for example, the category singer-songwriter, that's going to be one of the genre tags you want to insert in your upload. Because the way SoundCloud works is if your track starts getting traction, and the system will then match that keyword, then you'll get included in one of these trending playlists, which in turn will create a ripple effect of attracting more plays.
SoundCloud is definitely something that taking the time to add good metadata can pay off. And so just for clarity's sake, this tag you're talking about is different than, you know, when I upload a track and it says, you know, do I have the option of selecting a genre? Or is this tag something I have to be proactive with in a different place in order to really take advantage of, you know, search results and keywords that people would be searching from?
Yeah, this is proactive. So there's no drop-down list. SoundCloud gives you the freedom to type in whatever keyword or genre you want. And it's as simple as going to the homepage, going to Explore, finding the categories. And then, of course, you're going to put in your artist name, track title, genre. But you're also going to be very specific about finding that one list that matches perfectly and putting in that keyword.
So I think a good takeaway here is that, you know, it's pretty common, you know, as an artist, it's easy to get sort of fatigued with different platforms. There's new platforms popping up all the time. But for the established platforms that, you know, you should be engaging with, it's important that you recognize the differences between the functionality of SoundCloud and how to take advantage of it compared to like YouTube, where they have some things that are similar to what you're talking about, but different. And if you just kind of randomly treat them all the same, you could be missing out on opportunity.
Absolutely. And to add to that, actually, I mean, like I'm saying, that this marketing strategy, right, for yourself as an artist should be something that's multifaceted. And I believe that there should be a mix of content that's video-based but also music-based. And if you're able to intersperse that very consistently, you know, maybe every 2 weeks you drop a cover video on YouTube, and every 2 weeks or every month you release a track on SoundCloud, and then also distribute that through CD Baby to Spotify, then that will really, you know, create a stream of content for your fans that's going to keep them engaged all the time.
So with the artists that you've been working with, San Holo, what are some of the things that you've seen him doing work as far as engaging on the platform, engaging with fans in general, and using platforms like SoundCloud to build an audience?
Well, one of the things that was very, very crucial for Sander, San Holo, was that he had a remix series. It was called Don't Touch the Classics. It's still alive now, and basically what he does is he takes classic 90s tracks or tracks from the 2000s, right? But hip-hop tracks you really don't want to touch. So we're talking about Outkast, Miss Jackson, or Dr. Dre, the next episode. You know, stuff that's typically so good that why would you even dare to go remix that? And when we launched this, the copyright issues with SoundCloud weren't so severe that this was very, very, very tricky business. But he had about three of these remixes up on his SoundCloud, and very, very good remixes, actually. And then it had the signature branding. So we have a visual artist for San who takes care of all his artwork. So we make sure that his logo matches with his track artwork, and that artwork is going to reference the remix artwork to that of his next original. And basically, there were a number of these tracks which we had already put out before he came out with his first EP, the Cosmos EP, on our label, Heroic. And then when we kickstarted the EP and drove traffic to it using SoundCloud, using big YouTube promotional channels, but also getting the blogs, especially ones that were indexed on Hype Machine, getting them to cover the release, then led to people checking out his SoundCloud account, which then led to people checking out his remixes, and then bloggers independently started covering the remixes. Those then were indexed on Hype Machine again, and those started trending, and that's really when we started seeing a cascade of exposure.
And so as this following builds, how have you guys used this activity to fuel further success and take it off of platforms like SoundCloud and actually turn it into real dollars?
That is the great question, definitely. And that's the puzzle we're constantly trying to work with, because the SoundCloud thing is awesome, but we want to go beyond, you know. And there's two different things between building a fan base online and also translating that into like really active fans who will come to your shows. So there's a few things we're doing. So number one is licenses through other labels. There's a lot of cool people we've had the opportunity to work with. Guys like Nest HQ, which is run by Olsla, the label of Skrillex. We've done a track there. We've just put out an EP on Monster Cat, an awesome label out in Canada. Who basically dominate the digital realm when you talk about electronic music. And right now we're in the process of putting out a new single, I Miss You, on Spinin Records. And not sure if you're familiar with Spinin?
I'm not familiar with Spinin.
Right. So Spinin is definitely in the top three labels dominating dance music right now. So they're the guys who broke Martin Garrix, for example.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking 10 million subscribers on YouTube, million subscribers on SoundCloud. Yeah, so basically we're strategically putting out tracks with labels who we think are cool, making sure the right music goes out with the right label, you know? So, for example, with a Nest, which is Skrillex-based, we're going to do something more experimental, whereas Spinning, of course, is a bit more commercial. We put out a more commercial track. And then from there, of course, now we finally reached a stage where we could start touring. So he has done one Australian tour back when he was about half his size. And now we're gearing up to do North America early November, then Europe late November, and then to go back to Australia, New Zealand towards the end of the year.
Well, cool. One thing you were talking about in there that I think is interesting that seems to happen more often in the electronic music world and potentially hip hop world, but the idea that the electronic world seems to be more collaborative and open to various kinds of music releases that'll help get their name out there more, and maybe almost, it, for lack of a better term, more like partnerships, where, you know, in the alternative rock community, which is where I pretty much come from, it's like, no, I won't do covers. It has to be my own thing. And that, there's a lot of that mentality in the singer-songwriter world, the folk world, you know, Americana, that it's like, Americana, I'll give those, the folk and Americana folks some slack, because they do a lot of covers. But the idea that everything has to be my own thing, it definitely exists in the pop rock world. And and it can be a way, I think, for people to miss opportunity, wherein when you're using platforms like YouTube or SoundCloud or whatever, part of the just trying to get people excited about you as an artist is the goal. And it doesn't matter if every note you record, you thought of yourself. And I think that's something that I listening to you talk is interesting about, how the electronic music world definitely does more of that kind of collaboration. Is there any more you could talk about that, or advice for artists and just thinking outside the box and how to, you know, use those ideas to connect the dots with fans and get them excited about what you're doing?
Absolutely. I think this is a super good point you bring up. You know, there's something which we call the purist trap. And, you know, I feel like there's a lot of artists who are so puristic about what they do, their art, right? They want to have just original content, or you're a sellout if you release with this label, or if you do that, right? Or you're a sellout if you have a vocalist, or you're a sellout if you create a record which is going to go to radio. And my God, what if the track actually hits radio, you know? And I feel like the best musicians, and especially the ones who become successful, are also the ones who are able to play the long game and who know that maybe they would give up on maybe 5% of their artistic integrity to then create the room and the following, which in a year or 2 years' time is going to give them all the freedom to do whatever they want, and also the fan base and audience, which is going to accept it. And I think many people lack that perspective, and therefore they get stuck in this rut of, okay, it needs to be pure, needs to be as purist as it can be, and therefore they lose out on an opportunity to do a license with a big label, or they're afraid to push something to radio, or my God, what if you make something commercial? And of course, the best music is the music that stays close to the artist's heart, you know, that's like very, what do you call that, integer, if that is correct English. But for artists, what I would definitely say is, for example, I think continuity and having great music is probably the foundation of good marketing. So if you could write enough original content to be putting out one track a month, for example, or to do two albums per year, whereas I would definitely advise to be very consistent and do smaller releases consistently over putting out an album, because that's the nature of the game nowadays. Then you don't need to do covers per se. But if, for example, if you're really, really having a hard time writing original material, then maybe doing an odd cover song now and again, and then recording yourself and putting that up as a YouTube video to also create video content might just be your ticket, you know, to sustain that growth you have. And I think electronic music has foundations which are in hip hop culture more, and there you have remix culture, you know, and sampling, etc. So it's more accepted, but I think that also creates room and opportunity, which all artists would do well to embrace.
Agreed. And I think one thing that I'd want to have you give a little bit more detail on, just to kind of help draw the distinction even more, when you were talking about San Jolo and licensing a track for, you know, maybe a compilation or for usage somewhere else. Most independent artists kind of think about, you know, album and, you know, I'm going to release it. And then if things go well and I get bigger and bigger, there'll probably be a record deal at some point, as opposed to what are some strategies that I can do that might get me doing this one song that gets me connected to this like compilation or something else like that, that seems to happen a whole lot more in the electronic music world.
Yeah, definitely. I think, of course, because with rock music, for example, but also pop, you know, it's very, originally, this is very album driven, whereas dance music is much more track driven. And I think irrespective of genre, the way the internet works now, you know, is there's so much music coming out that even if you have a great album, you put out 10 tracks today, you know, maybe two tracks will be great and have attention for the next month and a half. But then people are going to forget because there's so much new content coming out. And therefore, you know, there's the discussion of whether the album is dead or not. And I definitely think the album isn't dead. And I think the figures also show the album isn't dead. But in terms of creating promotional points with your content, it's definitely strategically smarter to split up an album in 10 tracks and then to release 10 tracks over the span of 6 months, for example, than to drop 10 tracks at one point and then hope that does well, instead of emphasize every great single on your album and give it your best in terms of marketing. It's just, yeah, that's the state of the music industry today.
So getting back to SoundCloud, you know, we talked about some of the tagging and metadata that you can do in order to help get some of those individual tracks noticed, and at least making sure the pipeline is there in the event that stuff does start happening so it can bubble up. What are some other strategies specifically with the SoundCloud platform or even just some of the optimizations that artists need to be aware of?
Good question. So a great thing you could do is to band together with multiple people, whether that's promotional channels or artists or record labels, who once you release a track, will be able to repost it when it comes out. So that means that, for example, let's say you're making Americana, right? There's going to be maybe a few labels on the platform which release Americana, and maybe there's going to be a few promotional channels. And for those who are unaware with this concept, so basically on YouTube, especially in electronic music, there's these YouTube channels who have a whole business focused around uploading music which they like to share to their audience. And when you look at guys like Mr. Suicide Sheep, we're talking about YouTube channels with 2 million plus subscribers. And whenever they upload a track, it's going to get 100, 200,000 plays within a week. So these guys have a very, very influential say in what music makes it or breaks it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And these sort of brands are also now transitioning to SoundCloud. And more as the platform becomes more popular, they're also embracing pop and rock. So it's definitely worthwhile to look for that. But also to band together with a number of artists who support you and vice versa. And then to make sure that whenever you release a track, that you have correct metadata, that you then in turn get people to repost it within a short span of it coming out. And then another thing you could do is that when you start pitching to blogs that your new album is out, your new track is out, that you include the SoundCloud link so that the blogs, when they write about it, that they can actually embed the SoundCloud link. So whatever viewership and listeners you're going to get from the articles they write, that's going to attribute back to your original upload.
Yeah, that is a good point. Blogs do like using SoundCloud links. I see them embedded in blogs all the time. And when you see those kind of things, you can only assume that the bloggers are, you know, when they think of an artist, are probably going to that platform and doing a search and seeing, you know, if they can find anything there and easily grab to write about. So that's always a good indication that if bloggers are posting those links a lot, that it's probably a preferred platform for them.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, SoundCloud has been in the news a lot lately about the rights and the discussion about what the platform needs to evolve into. For those that may not know, services like Spotify are paying money per stream for it being a streaming service. Services like YouTube has created this ad platform that, you know, they've kind of got agreements that, you know, it's not the perfect solution, but the ad revenue drives money for the content and the copyrights being used there. But SoundCloud hasn't completely figured that out yet. And like you mentioned earlier, has seen some very impressive numbers over the last couple of years as far as listenership growing. So what is the state of affairs with SoundCloud? And, what do you think will happen in the coming years with the platform?
Well, the initial reason, of course, why this is happening is very logical. You know, the major labels see a lot of their content being used on the platform, whether that's in original form or being remixed, which is often the case on the platform. And of course, they want to get paid. And up until now, SoundCloud's been operating under the DMCA, if I'm correct there, copyright loophole, which basically means that they can use the content for as long as they are not expressly commercially using it. And I will say also here, I'm not a lawyer. But in turn, of course, with the growth of the platform, it makes sense that all these rights holders say, hey, we want to get remuneration for the use of our content. And that is why there's been speculations years ago of majors acquiring a stake in the business itself, those talks being halted. And then just about a year ago, Warner was the first label to actually create a license deal with SoundCloud. And this was at the time when SoundCloud had just announced their monetization solution called On SoundCloud. This is pretty similar to what YouTube is doing in terms of advertising, is that selected partners are brought onto SoundCloud, where if they own the full rights to the music, they have the ability to monetize their content. And right now, this is just active in the United States. But for example, we with Heroic are monetizing our content. So if you were to listen to our music and you're in the US, there's a chance you're going to get served an audio ad. And basically, they're just gearing up now on ingesting more music and getting more people on board who actually do the monetization. But it's not a lot of money yet. It's definitely not comparable to YouTube or Spotify. So they're making moves, but it's very understandable that the big players are saying, hey, we want to see bigger compensation here. And of course, there's a lot of leverage because without access to the extended universal catalog, you know, SoundCloud would be missing out.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see the play out. Something I'm kind of curious about is how users will users, meaning the fans enjoying the music, will react to audio ads on a social-driven platform compared to YouTube, where because of TV, we've been trained when there's a video component that it's not out of the ordinary to see an advertisement. And YouTube still is doing a lot of tweaking to improve their service too. So to me, it will be interesting to see how that platform, the monetization platform, develops for SoundCloud and becomes something that helps drive revenue for artists, but at the same time keeps users engaged.
Yeah, absolutely. I think something that's interesting, you know, is you were asking me about how this would develop in the coming years. And what I've come to understand about SoundCloud's plans is that they want to expand their monetization. They want to increase the payouts on that monetization. And then, of course, roll it out beyond just the U.S., you know, probably key territories first. So adding a Canada, adding Western Europe, the U.K., etc. And there's also been speculation that at some point they're going to start charging a user fee similar to what Spotify is doing, where the people who then pay get access to like premium user experience without the ads. So this is very plausible, and I think it's interesting because the community is so different than a Spotify, and that maybe with their scale they're going to reach a point where they're going to be able to compete.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because I don't think that anyone has nailed the streaming music experience yet. I've been a casual Spotify user, but I've been using Apple Music a whole lot more since it launched, and it, I think, has some nice advancements, nowhere near being a perfect product. And I would say in both those cases that the social and interaction component is lacking, even with the addition of Apple Music's Kinect, that it's really not a social experience because it's really a artist broadcast platform. Mm-hmm. Because I can comment on theirs, but I can't really interact with anybody. Where SoundCloud is different, they have that piece. You can interact as a user with the tracks and other users. And so it'll be interesting to see if they can harness that difference and make something that continues to drive growth and hopefully revenue for artists.
Absolutely. Well, actually, maybe my experience is a little bit different also, because I feel like a lot of people in the U.S. haven't gotten accustomed to Spotify so early. And Spotify adoption seems to be a lot bigger in Europe. So, for example, I've been using it for years already. I love the platform. But what you're saying is totally true. There's no community aspect. And I think Apple Music is very interesting, not per se because the platform is so great, but just the sheer amount of exposure it's going to give streaming. And rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah, well, and I think that, you know, leading up to the launch of Apple Music, there was all this, this is going to kill Spotify, or like this whole back and forth, and platforms like SoundCloud are going to get left in the dust. What about YouTube? It's all over. And finally, somebody wrote an article, I think it was on like TechCrunch or something, like, this is the most ridiculous argument. The idea is that each platform can build its own audience that is looking for something different, and like you said, lift all of the engagement with music across the board. I think the cool thing about when you look at something like SoundCloud is that it still points to that social factor, that engagement can really drive a lot of stuff on its own for you as an artist that doesn't necessarily happen when your track's sitting in Spotify or Apple Music. But, you know, when you see a lot of the success people have on YouTube, it's driven by that social component and people getting excited about what you're doing and being able to amplify that excitement. And so I think it reaches into different groups of segments of the music community, and you know, I want them all to succeed, because if they all succeed, that means music is succeeding. So
I wholeheartedly agree. And then to add, you know, the best artists realize that this is true, and they play each of these platforms and then use them to the right way to cater to the audience on those platforms. You know?
Yes.
Like the people I see growing the most, take Hassan, for example, right? We have a very elaborate content strategy there. But we do a a video biography series. Every 2 months, we post a video on his YouTube channel, and we make sure that's intermixed with his releases on SoundCloud. And then we're also building a back catalog on Spotify. And we're also we also have everything on Beatport and also on iTunes. And not per se because we favor one platform above the other, but exactly what you're saying. You know, there's something for everyone to go around, and maybe someone likes SoundCloud more than a Spotify. But there's also a lot of people on YouTube who may not be on another platform.
Yeah, I agree. And that's what I always encourage artists that, especially folks that are wondering why they're not connecting with a fan base. And then you find out that they've drastically limited their distribution sometimes to just parking tracks on one platform. And I'm like, there's a whole world out there that is engaging in different ways. The era of thinking about music distribution is, hey, my CD is in a store and everyone goes down the street to the store and digs through the racks and pulls out a CD. And that's the only thing I need to worry about is my CD being in that store's bin. Those days are over. People have choice, and the fan community is fragmented into all sorts of different services that engage in ways that they like to engage with music. So I think that's important. Well, what are some final thoughts about what artists should be doing with SoundCloud or SoundCloud as a platform? I know you've got the SoundCloud Bible that people can check out. I'll put a link to that. And you go into lots of detail about developing the platform and even get into things like comments and strategies around that. But what are a few more, any other final thoughts or a few more things that you have on SoundCloud as a platform to close it out?
Sure. To begin with, I would say create coherent branding. I think you need to realize there's a huge opportunity in SoundCloud. So all you guys got to get on there. You want to make sure you have mirrored content, right? So all your tracks should be up on a Spotify, but also on a SoundCloud and also on a YouTube. You want to be diligent about that. You want to make your profile very easy to interpret. Put a short biography in there. Maybe tag your record label. You could do that by using an ad tag and then writing someone's username. So you could do that in a biography. And maybe you want to band together with a few artists in your realm and then support each other and commit to doing that. For every track you put out, commit to reposting each other's work. And then, of course, make sure you do the genre keyword tags and be very consistent about uploading music. So let's say, even if it's a demo, try putting up a track at least once a month. And then another secret tip I'll give is that, let's say someone else includes your track in a playlist, and then that playlist appears on someone else's account, then you can in turn repost that playlist, and then technically you're reposting your own track.
Interesting. Yeah, there's lots of great little nuggets with understanding how a platform works and how you can get in there and make little tweaks to kind of get your music forward. The thing you said that I like the most, that, you know, on the podcast we talk a lot about doing gig sharing with other artists. Like, you know, I don't know what it's like there in the Netherlands, but here, you know, in the US, it's a big place, so it's sometimes difficult to get to, like, across the whole country. But like trying to find artists that are, you know, within driving range, like, hey, you come open for me in my town, I'll come open for you in your town. And that's become a popular concept. But, you know, you mentioned basically the idea of doing that on the web, and artists should band together and leverage their collective social presences to, you know, further the benefit of the group. And I think if you've got a collection of friends and that are doing music in a scene in a town, and have that can further amplify everyone's music, I think that's a great idea.
Definitely.
And committing to it, like you said, committing to it, because it's only going to work if people actually do it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, you know, like find a few people, have a presence, commit to doing that very consistently. And actually, now that we're on the topic, I feel a lot of this is also very inbound. You know, this is like really marketing you do within your existing socials. I think most important, beyond having all this stuff up, setting up your accounts, being consistent in releasing music, is also marketing it beyond, you know? Make a list of blogs, make a list of YouTube channels, make a list of magazines, reach out to them with your releases. Don't send 5 emails and then be disappointed if no one responds. Like, you could send 500 personal emails, and then if no one responds, you could be a little bit sad. But that's the kind of scale people should be thinking. And then doing that not once, but doing that 12 times a year, every month. And, you know, that starts compounding and generating growth.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks for being on the podcast. And I will put links on the show notes. Where else can people find you online?
They can find me on bootyvogue.com. The book you're going to put there. And then the record label is Heroic Recordings. And from there, you could check out our releases, our artists, etc.
Well, thanks so much, Booty. And it was great having you on the podcast. We'll link to you. And you know, if you, I would encourage you, especially as SoundCloud updates roll out. It's, you know, it's a common news item these days. I'd encourage you, you know, check back in with us, post some links or comments on the episode, and also, you know, if you've got another article in you for the DIY Musician blog, just let us know.
Absolutely. I will do that.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks again to Booty for being on the podcast. I'll put a link to his SoundCloud Bible on the website, the podcast website, in the show notes, so you can head over there and check it out. Also, you know, feel free to call our listener line at 360-524-2209 or email us at podcast@cdbabypodcast.com. If you're doing something on SoundCloud that's getting traction or want to weigh in on the topic, I'd love to hear about it. Also, we've been getting a lot of good questions lately, so it's probably almost time again to do a listener feedback show. So if you just have a question about something that's unrelated to what we've been talking about, send it in anyway. I'll answer it regardless, but we've got a lot of good ones that are sort of piling up that I want to do a show with just listener questions and feedback. Some great YouTube questions, licensing questions, cover song questions. A lot of them have been coming in, and it's good stuff. So you can also send in, you know, a funny story as well. We still like getting those. There's, you know, it's a music career is a journey, and lots of things happen. Some fun, some not so fun, and some hilarious. So we want to hear it all. So send it in, and we'll try and get it on the podcast. Well, that's going to do it. We'll catch you next time. Bye. You've been listening to the CD Baby DIY Musician Podcast, broadcasting from Portland, Oregon, USA.